This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, whatever language we use, more people are questioning the idea that relationships must follow one traditional model. And for some couples, opening a relationship can bring honesty, freedom, and deeper connection. For others, it can trigger insecurity, jealousy, or emotional strain that no one saw coming. So how do we know when non-monogamy is strengthening a relationship and when it might be harming our well-being? It's time for Mind Matters. And joining us is clinical psychologist Anthony Smith. Anthony, welcome back.
Thank you, Warren, for having me, as always.
Now, we hear a lot about open relationships in queer communities. From a mental health perspective, are they good or bad?
Yeah, well I think there's no healthy or unhealthy relationship structure in and of itself, however it might be structured. The key factor is how the relationship is functioning, not whether it's monogamous. Non-monogamy can work really well when communication between the partners in the relationship is strong, when everyone generally wants it, and when boundaries are clear. I suppose open relationships don't necessarily cause mental health problems, but they can expose them if they're not properly considered.
That's really interesting. So essentially the mental health problems may already exist, but it's the open relationship that shines a light on them.
Absolutely.
To address them. Would you recommend, like, if someone is considering one and they're not sure, would you recommend in getting professional advice before opening up a relationship?
Yeah, so there's absolutely other professionals like myself, particularly professionals that work with couples or all sorts of different diverse relationship structures that can facilitate some conversations about this very subject, yeah.
When does non-monogamy tend to work well psychologically?
I think it works best when it's intentional and not reactive to something that's gone on in the relationship. I think it works particularly well when there's emotional security between partners, when there's clear agreements about sex, time, and communication with other people that might be involved. And when there's comfort discussing jealousy without shame. And I think the ability for all people in the kind of partnership to be able to separate sexual variety from emotional threat, I think it works really well under those parameters.
When does it become a mental health stressor?
Yeah, so I think problems can arise when non-monogamy is perhaps introduced into the relationship after betrayal or some kind of rupture in the relationship, where there's an attempt to repair the relationship through opening it up. I think problems can also arise when opening up a relationship might be used to avoid conflict or intimacy, or if it's driven by fear of abandonment, where one partner agrees out of fear of losing the relationship. And I guess as we were talking about before, non-monogamy perhaps can magnify attachment insecurities. It doesn't necessarily hide them.
We had a few people have texted in saying they agreed to a non-monogamous relationship purely because they felt like they would lose their partner. Is that quite a common reason that people do enter them?
Yeah, I think a common reason, lots of different reasons, of course, but maybe, yeah, that's one of those particular things to take pause around. And I think in those circumstances, it can become a mental health stressor for some people when that's the impetus for opening up a relationship.
We're chatting with clinical psychologist Anthony Smith about non-monogamy and mental health. Anthony, the biggest question that I'm sure is on everyone's lips, jealousy. I mean, it gets talked about a lot. Is jealousy a sign someone isn't suited to open relationships, or is there some sort of way of managing it? Because I feel like we've all got this little bit of jealousy inside us, or a potential to be jealous.
And as I often say, like, even what we would maybe consider negative or challenging emotions like jealousy often tell us some important information. And so I don't think jealousy necessarily is a sign that someone isn't suited to an open relationship. I think jealousy is a normal attachment emotion that we expect to find when we're kind of traversing these quite inbuilt attachment systems that's kind of built into our nervous system. I think the issue isn't necessarily feeling jealousy when a relationship is opened up. It's how it's handled, whether members of the partnership can talk about it safely, and whether or not there's reassurance and boundaries that exist within whatever forms the relationship might take.
So if someone says, you know, I'm a bit of a jealous type, I'm not quite ready yet, but the other partner's saying, well, I want to open up the relationship. Is it important to wait until the jealousy's been dealt with and both partners are comfortable in proceeding with a non-monogamous relationship?
Yeah, potentially. And that may be maybe building in some routines or rituals into the partnership itself that allows for that sense of reassurance and cementing of kind of some of those boundaries that I talked about. That can be some kind of natural antidotes, I suppose, to the activation of our attachment system and the jealousy that might come with that.
Is non-monogamy the solution to when the intimacy dies in a relationship, or are there other, I know we're not going to go into that direction, but are there other solutions that can be explored as well?
Yeah, I would suggest that maybe, again, that's another potential, not red flag, but area of kind of pause when that could lead to some stresses in the relationship. And maybe that's best explored through some other avenues like couples therapy, perhaps.
Anthony, how can someone tell if non-monogamy is enhancing their well-being or harming it? What are the things that we can look out for to say, you know what, we've opened the relationship up with whatever model we've agreed to. What can we look out for in ourselves to say, okay, is it working for me? Am I, healthy or not?
Yeah, I think some of those signs that it's potentially going in a good direction is that if people can feel secure when their partner is with others, I think that's the most important sign of a kind of functional opening relationship. When all aspects or all people that make up the couple or the relationship can talk openly about their feelings, there's perhaps not behaviours where other parts of the relationship, members of the couple might be monitoring or obsessing about the relationship or the whereabouts of their other partner, and where self-worth doesn't perhaps depend on comparison towards other people. At some times it's going well, I think.
That's a really good point. It's our self-worth, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that. I know I was in a relationship once and, we tried opening it and we didn't talk about it at all, and it turned into an absolute disaster. But then I've been in relationships where it works really, really well. So communication is key, isn't it?
Yeah, that kind of old adage, I think, definitely rings true when it comes to opening relationships.
Anthony, what advice would you give couples considering opening their relationship?
Yeah, I think maybe taking some moment to pause and really reflect as a couple, really reflecting on, can we talk about difficult feelings safely? And have we gotten good at that as we've gone about kind of being together? And are we opening the relationship up from maybe a position of curiosity rather than fear of loss or abandonment? Mm. Is there some clear agreements that we can come up with as to exactly how the relationship is going to work and how it's going to be structured? And should jealousy arise, how are we going to handle that? I think the most important takeaway is that open relationships work best when a relationship is already secured, not when it's struggling.
That's really good. Anthony, I love that. And I reckon one day we should explore jealousy. I feel like jealousy tells us a lot more than we realize.
Maybe our next segment.
That's a good one. Anthony, always good to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thanks, Lauren.
That was our clinical psychologist, Anthony Smith, for this month's Mind Matters.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.